Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Fixer by Lee Winter, narrated by Angela Daw. Dedication. The Fixer and Chaos Agent would not exist if not for Angela Daw. Angela's voicing of Michelle Hastings in First Class Villains, a short story from my Sliced Ice anthology, was stunning. Her suppressed longing, icy competence, and sharp, no-nonsense take on my villain floored me so much that I immediately wanted to write Michelle's story. So this book is dedicated to my inspiration, friend, and narrator, the legendary Angela Daw. Chapter 1. Office with No Name. The first time Eden acquired an arch-nemesis, she had just turned 20 and was not exactly in the market for one, although with a surname like Lawless, she supposed acquiring enemies might be more of a design feature than a bug. Given Eden's main expertise lay in disrupting the status quo and organizing protests for good causes, perhaps it was almost inevitable. Fun fact, Eden's first protest was in utero. Her mother, River, then 8 months pregnant, fist punching the skies, hair whipping around her face, had been glowing when a photographer snapped her at a Save the Whales demonstration off the coast of Japan. By age 9, Eden had done more sit-ins, night reclaimings, tree chainings, and placard waving than most children her age had scraped knees. So, by 20, Eden had become adept at both the art of shaking up society and clinging to building faces, protesting her way to a college expulsion and one extremely cranky nemesis. That event turned out to be highly relevant to why she was now sitting here, 16 years later, in the fancy end of Washington, D.C., outside an office that had no name. She'd pulled in here around midnight the previous night, instead of stopping at her best friend's place, as she normally would. Eden had wanted to be all set first thing this morning with a good parking spot out front for Gloria, her tastefully rainbow-painted 2008 Dodge Sprinter 3500 van. She never minded sleeping in Gloria, which was fitted out for that purpose. Eden's DIY reno work over the years had seen her add a sweet double bed, cute oven, compact high-end shower, toilet, and wall-mounted TV. But the outside was another matter. Gloria looked vastly out of place in D.C., tapestried as she was with faded stickers marking protest movements over the decades, championing rainforests, rights for women, POC, and the LGBT+, and snow leopards. Eden really liked snow leopards. Oh, goddess, she was being distracted. Eden raked her fingers through her unruly hair, hoping it would behave for once, then peered back up at the building she had to visit in a few minutes. So the big question was, why did this office have no name? Wasn't that weird? Eden yanked her phone out of her corduroy jacket to read the email yet again. Dear Ms. Lawless, my name is Arnold Clemens. I'm a researcher for a consultancy firm. Your name and skill set came up when I was investigating a project for my employer. We are seeking to recruit for a short-term assignment an individual who is both creative and clever, media savvy, IT literate, and able to disrupt the status quo through any legal means necessary. The pay is generous, and you would set your own hours. However, a non-disclosure agreement would need to be signed before any specifics are revealed as to this project or my employer's name. I can say that the work would involve you being based in Wingapo, Maryland, your hometown, I believe, and it involves a person from your past who was fundamental in your career shift. If this interests you, I can set up a meeting with my employer at their office in Washington, D.C. A plane ticket and accommodation can be provided if you are out of the area. A street parking pass will be supplied if you require it. Yours sincerely, Arnold Clemens. This job was about someone who'd been fundamental in her career shift? That could mean only one person, Francine Wilson. Now Mayor Francine Wilson, a.k.a. Eden's arch-nemesis. But what did Francine have to do with some mysterious, secretive organization based in a glass tower in D.C.? And speaking of mysteries, what was its name? Eden had assumed when she'd pulled up outside its address on M Street that she'd learn the name from simply looking at the door. No such luck. It had no sign. just an odd black symbol like a stemless five-leaf clover. The tinted glass was too dark to see inside the foyer. A speaker sat next to the door. That was it. Eden suddenly felt self-conscious. What was she even doing here? What skills could she possibly possess that fit in around here? One way to find out. She leaped out of Gloria and strode up to the building. She tugged the door. Locked. Then she pressed the speaker button. A deep male voice replied.
Yes?
Hi. I'm Eden Lawless. I have an appointment.
Yes.
The door clicked open. The foyer was marble, and the lighting dim, thanks to all those tinted windows. A black leather couch sat before a glass coffee table, a security counter, and two elevators. It was devoid of anything else. An enormous guard, who'd triple-dipped on his muscle allocation, beckoned her to his desk.
I need some ID, Ms. Lawless.
Eden dug out her Maryland driver's license. The guard pulled out a tablet, snapped a photo of the license, and then tapped some notes into his device. He pushed her license back, along with a blank white plastic card.
Elevator pass,
he said.
Enter it into the slot inside the elevator. You will be met upon exiting. Good day, Ms. Lawless.
Eden shortly found herself in a sleek metal cube, whisking up fast. There were no numbers, only double letters occasionally lighting up, indicating the passage of floors. MM, CE, CS, among others. Before long, the doors opened at PS, and she stepped out onto a floor filled with wide windows and a stunning view. Okay, they were really high up. Was this the top floor? Maybe PS stood for penthouse suite? A mid-20s dark-skinned woman with the most exquisite eyebrows led Eden to another black leather couch. She oozed class with her stylish short afro, manicured nails, and tailored gray skirt suit, definitely expensive. She offered no name.
Your phone, Ms. Lawless, and any other recording devices?
The woman held out her hand. Eden coughed up her battered phone. The confiscation was temporary, the receptionist assured her, while gingerly placing Eden's device in a steel box beside her desk. She locked it with a soft snick sound. Eden inhaled deeply. What the hell have I gotten myself into? It reminded her of the time some oil executives had wanted to fly her to their headquarters in Texas for a pleasant chat over lunch about the way she'd made a campaign reporting unleaded gases' possible links to cancer go viral. And she'd gone because why not? If she changed just one executive's view, she'd be delighted. The next day had been a shocking reality check when several oil corporations had released publicity photos of her lunching in style with their executives, living the high life, being a sellout, or so the material implied. Compromised, even though she'd spent every minute arguing with them between bites of food she was too anxious to taste. Her environmentalist client had dumped her immediately. Lesson learned. Or was it? What did this nameless organization want with her? Had she just walked right into a complicated trap or a con, all because they dangled Francine Wilson in front of her? If it was a con, it was an expensive one. Even the billionaire oil execs didn't have an office like this. Her gaze drifted from the stylized chrome door handles to the elegant matching light switches and the beautiful floor lamps in each corner, curling over like metallic dancers touching their knees. At the end of the room, taller than Eden, sat some sort of bronze Renaissance sculpture. It was of a female nude, shrouded in a sculpted windswept cloth, face angled away, hair blown behind her. Astonishing how the cloth looked real and soft, not metallic. Beautiful. And expensive. As in, museum exhibit expensive.
You like it?
The receptionist asked, following her gaze. Sure. What is it? The woman's dark brown eyes leveled Eden with a long look.
Vol haut. That's French. It means fly high.
Fly high. That about summed up this whole place. Is it, classic? Some dead white Italian dude from the Renaissance era? She could picture him already.
Chinese sculptor Luo Lirong made it, and she was born in 1980.
Eden gave a sheepish grin. Wrong on all counts, then.
Ah. But the sculpture is a classic, the receptionist conceded with a tiny sniff. In my opinion, at least. Our CEO bought it from a gallery in France at the artist's last showing. There was a fierce bidding war for it.
So the CEO had a ton of splash cash to blow on bronze nudes? Interesting. Eden wondered if he was some self-indulgent collector or simply a lech. Her ears pricked up at the faintest noise. At first, Eden had thought she was hearing things, but no, it was there. A faint, untidy hum. After 10 more minutes of hearing it, she cleared her throat and glanced at the other woman. The receptionist looked up pointedly at the latest interruption, an eyebrow high and arched.
Yes, Miss Lawless?
Do you hear that noise?
Yes, Miss Lawless, came the cultured reply, without any further explanation.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
What on earth is it?
White noise, the woman replied. It is to facilitate higher productivity by muting sounds of others working and talking. Further,
she paused as if for effect,
our particular white noise technology has a dampening field in it that will prevent any audio recording devices from working.
Eden's jaw dropped. Is that even a thing? She was quite well up on most tech, thanks to IT once having been her field of study. This was new.
I can assure you, Ms. Lawless, it is most definitely a thing.
She returned to work. Right, well, that shut Eden up. As intended, she had no doubt. Time ticked on. What was taking so long? Was this some intimidation tactic? Show the minion who was boss? But why? They had actively sought her out, not the other way around. She ran her hands down her good jeans, the black ones that didn't obviously look like denim unless you touched them. Eden had no doubt she was wildly out of place here, which might explain the receptionist's attitude. Probably didn't see too many social agitators or Earth Justice warriors around here. Eden toyed with the thin chain at her neck. It had a round symbol representing Gaia, a flat tree in a circle with curling, interconnected branches to signify Mother Earth. Her mom had given it to her before disappearing off to her latest protest, harassing super trawlers overfishing in the North Sea. That had been over 18 months ago. She'd kept extending her mission. Eden missed River every day. She shifted her polished black boots and hunched further back into her jacket. It probably wasn't the usual posh office interview look, but if they wanted Eden, this was what they got. A door opened down the hall, and a 60-ish woman with graying blonde hair made a beeline toward her. She was pleasantly plump and beautifully presented in a champagne-colored skirt and chiffon ivory blouse. Her confident walk and attitude were commanding. Eden was transfixed. She must be high up the company ladder, surely. Then she smiled at Eden, which transformed her from imperious to maternal. Gone instantly was any hint of power, like a switch had been flipped off. What an unusual effect. Eden stared in surprise.
If you'll come this way, please, Ms. Lawless, she said. Our CEO is ready to see you now.
CEO? She'd scored an interview with the CEO?
Sure.
Eden shot to her feet.
Sure,
she said again to the woman's now retreating back. A few moments later, her escort knocked on a polished oak door, eased it open, and announced,
Ms. Lawless is here for her interview.
She turned to Eden expectantly. With a thanks, Eden stepped through the door. Eden looked around. The CEO's office was spacious, with yet another black leather couch by the window. Gray carpet felt plush and thick beneath her boots. The off-white walls were broken up by art prints, probably something bidding war-worthy too, but Eden knew even less about abstract art than she did bronze nudes. Despite the art, everything seemed so soulless. The strange, soft, white noise hiss was louder in here. Prickles went up Eden's neck. She spun around to find a minimalist glass desk tucked away on one side of the room. It was not a remotely logical place to put a desk unless you needed your back to a solid wall. The office's rear was entirely wall-to-wall windows. Behind the desk sat a woman in an immaculate navy blazer with a blindingly white shirt collar jutting high up her neck. Her dark chestnut hair had been corralled into a tight ball low against her neck. That neck was hard to miss. Long and tapered, it came to a strong, firm jaw and proud chin. All her features were angular, like a goddess from a Grecian urn, especially her pointy chin and classically elegant, longer nose. Her high cheekbones, free of any makeup, were sharp as a blade, as was her impatient expression. Eden's heart jumped, and her palms slicked at being caught gawking. The woman shifted her hands from her keyboard to her desk, interlacing long fingers in front of herself. She regarded Eden as one might an insect that required assessment for pinning in a display case. Those penetrating hazel eyes were so dark and intense that Eden indeed felt pinned in place. She stopped in front of the desk. The woman gestured for Eden to sit in an overstuffed black chair opposite, and she obeyed instantly. Up close, the CEO was beyond intimidating. Her posture was fixed and straight, and there was so much stillness. Unusual. Eden was used to acquaintances and friends being loud, making themselves larger to fill spaces not typically designed for them. But this woman, lean and compact though she was, seemed to effortlessly fill her whole office. So much authority.
"Thank you, Tilly," the woman suddenly said. Her voice was low, no nonsense, and almost curt.
Eden's escort merely nodded, exiting with an effortless grace.
Okay, so the possibly personal assistant was Tilly. Eden was relieved someone around here had a name. She hoped the intimidating CEO would introduce herself now, too.
"I trust you found us okay,"
the woman said instead, voice soft and almost faintly amused.
"Not everyone does." There was something so cool about how she spoke, as if she barely bothered speaking much at all, and the listener should feel fortunate to be graced with an audience.
"Well, I'm not surprised," Eden said, settling back a little in the chair. "Your office has no name. You just have some weird, squishy little round logo."
"It's a pentalobe. And no, there's little point having a secret organization and then emblazoning our name across the office."
"Why not just use a fake name?" Eden asked, warming to the topic. She leaned forward. "Like Humboldt Industries."
"Humboldt?"
The woman's look became perplexed.
"What on earth is that?"
"Exactly."
Eden spread her hands out as if sharing her genius idea with the world.
"Nothing, but it sounds like something, right? Maybe you make cheese, maybe you don't. Who can say?"
The other woman stared at her for long enough that Eden began to squirm.
"Cheese,"
she finally muttered.
"Yeah."
Eden trailed off at the woman's pinched expression.
"Never mind then."
The woman apparently gave up on any pretense at interest in the topic and leaned back.
"I'm curious about something. You were offered free accommodation in a top hotel and a flight here if you needed it. You declined both and only accepted the parking pass. Why?"
"Maybe I was in the neighborhood," she said lightly.
"You weren't. My researcher said you were doing work in Ohio, campaigning for nurses this week. So, you drove 7 hours to attend an interview when you could have arrived in style and well-rested. I ask again, why?"
How could the researcher know that? Eden didn't advertise her clients or her whereabouts. Maybe one of the nurses had tagged her in something on social media? It was creepy how knowledgeable these people were about her, especially given how little she knew in return. Eden eyeballed the woman watching her impassively.
"Because I like to know who I'm dealing with before I take favors. That way I don't end up beholden to someone down the track that I'd rather not be."
Lesson learned from those Texan oil execs. Fool me once. The woman gave a faint nod of what looked a lot like approval.
"Understandable."
She smiled.
"Tell me, what did you think of the bronze in the main office?"
"The nude?" Eden clarified. Was she nude? The woman tilted her head. Good question. Did having sculpted transparent gauze all over you make you naked or not?
Yes.
The CEO regarded her impassively.
Interesting. See, I'd argue no. She has a covering of the cloth, even if one can see through it.
It's irrelevant as a covering if it's of no use.
It's of use to her. She might find it useful in some way. Maybe it gives her confidence, or it's her mask, or distracts us from something else she hides.
The hell? Eden blinked at her. She's nude, she enunciated, then stared at her incredulously. The other woman gave a soft snicker and glanced down at a folder, as if to ask another question, but Eden was over these weird games.
Look, can we cut to the chase? Why am I here? What's the job, please? And most especially, what's your name?
Miss Lawless, I'm sure you have many questions,
she began, her voice a mesmerizing, low, almost derisive tone.
Of course I have many questions.
Was she kidding?
And I'm afraid I won't be able to answer most of them. Our clients pay top dollar for secrecy. Our entire consultancy firm runs on the premise their identities will be protected. That is our number one priority, keeping secrets. So I cannot tell you who hired us for this project, or why.
But
no.
One cold, firm word stopped Eden's protest dead.
What I can tell you is this. A person who ruined your life once in your hometown is about to have a very bad time of her re-election campaign for mayor. Is that something you're interested in hearing more about?
Francine Wilson having a bad time for once in her life?
Yeah, Eden said hoarsely. Big yeah.
All right.
The woman slid some papers across the desk.
Our standard non-disclosure agreement. It says you can't talk about me, our organization, the job you're doing for us, or anything else associated with us.
Well, I don't know anything, so it'll be hard to blab.
Now, maybe. You will acquire more information as time goes on. The price to hear what we have in mind is your signature.
She pushed a pen across the desk.
Well, two of them. The forms are in duplicate.
Eden picked up the paperwork, reading carefully. It seemed pretty straightforward. Don't spill the beans and her sorry ass wouldn't be sued into the Stone Age. If I sign this, will you tell me your name?
Since my name will be right beneath yours as witness, that's a given.
Good, because it'd be weird having a boss without a name. She signed her blocky, solid scribble, then pushed the page back. Otherwise, what would I call you? M?
M?
The woman's expression turned puzzled.
Because our building is on M Street?
No, as in James Bond, his boss? The CEO reviewed Eden's signatures, then signed her own name twice with acutely slanted, mashed letters that Eden couldn't read upside down. Then she lifted an eyebrow.
You feel you are James Bond?
No. The CEO shot her a withering look that made her feel a foot tall as she pushed one document over to Eden.
Your copy. I encourage you to study it in detail.
Eden immediately tried to decipher the woman's squishy signature and turn it into a name.
My name is Michelle Hastings.
She paused, and her mouth made the tiniest uptick at the sides.
To save you the eye strain.
Eden immediately looked up from the scrawl in relief.
Okay, great. Hi, she said a little too brightly.
Hi, Michelle drawled back.
Eden plowed on to hide how ridiculous she felt.
Well, I like Michelle better than M, although Judy Dench's M was the best, and I guess it's not bad to be compared to Dame Judy.
Michelle stared at her as if Eden had lost her damned mind.
Well, okay, she might be overcompensating for her nervousness by babbling. Right. So, Michelle...
The other woman twitched.
What? She was supposed to call her Ms. Hastings? She wasn't Eden's boss. Not yet, anyway. She didn't know her.
Certainly not enough to confer some sort of floor-scraping deference. Respect was earned.
Michelle, Eden repeated, kind of enjoying the way the other woman seemed to be biting back a reprimand.
Probably hard for her, not controlling everything.
Francine Wilson is the most corrupt person my hometown's ever seen.
Do tell.
Eden gave a frustrated huff. When I locked horns with her, I was a 20-year-old college kid, and she was a big-deal property developer. She owns most of the real estate in Wingapo County, all the off-campus student accommodation for my local college there, and most of it around Hood College in neighboring Frederick.
Yes, Michelle said briskly. And Francine Wilson has acquired vastly more property since you tangled with her. She's also grown more powerful since becoming mayor. Apparently, she counts the Maryland Attorney General as her closest friend.
Eden scowled. Closest bribe recipient, you mean?
And you know this for a fact?
I know her. Look, Francine's not some successful businesswoman who just happens to be a property developer. My beef with her is not about jealousy or hating the rich or her ambition to own half the world. Francine's a dirty slumlord, and that is a fact. Michelle watched her through hooded eyes.
Don't believe me?
Eden clenched her fists as the injustices of long ago rose up into her throat. She gets away with murder. She's untouchable. Anyone who says anything negative about her is portrayed as a bitter nutjob by the media and cops. She has them in her back pocket. She cuts corners on maintenance on her properties, but when tenants like, oh, I don't know, poor college kids complain to the Attorney General, Wingapo Police, or the media, it gets buried. Everyone in any position of power is either intimidated or compromised. If that's not bad enough, now she's the mayor. I'm glad I wasn't there to see that. She has so much power, it's disgusting.
Well, said Michelle evenly. I happen to agree.
You do? Surprise stole through Eden. She unlocked her fists and surreptitiously wiped her sweaty palms down her pants. Usually no one believed her. It sounded so outlandish, as though Eden was some crazy conspiracy theorist.
Of course.
Michelle drew a page out of her folder and read.
My researcher has concluded Francine Wilson is corrupt, cocky, loaded with cash, and about to run for her third mayoral term, even though it is thoroughly undeserved. And she will win. So?
She cocked her head.
Want to help us prevent that?
Eden blinked. Her mouth went dry. Why now? And why me?
I have no idea why a client reached out to us now, not 2 terms ago, to prevent Wilson's win. But your second question is simple. Mr. Clemens spent months in Wingapo assessing what was needed to accomplish the client's request. He came to the same conclusion you did. The media and police have been paid off. The Attorney General, too.
No kidding. Eden hunched over at the painful reminder. She hurts anyone who gets in her way. She inhaled sharply. I got in her way.
Yes, you did. Memorably so. In fact, according to Mr. Clemens, you remain the only person to stand up to her in any meaningful way. You got under her skin in a way no one has before or since. So that makes you the ideal candidate to do it again.
But I lost, Eden cried out before mortification flooded her. Hell, sorry.
Yes, you lost,
Michelle said calmly, as if Eden hadn't lost her composure.
She had your father fired to get back at you. Additionally, she managed to get you expelled and run out of town. That's power.
Yeah, Eden said sullenly. Michelle's eyes left her notes and met Eden's.
She was a mere property developer at the time. She's on your old college's board and had a wing named after her at your father's now former workplace, thanks to all her donations. That tells me she has no qualms about using her power and influence to punish her enemies.
Eden ground her teeth.
Well, enemy, singular,
Michelle corrected,
since you appear to be her only one, officially, anyway.
She pulled another page out of her folder.
Our researcher says you were expelled from Wingapo State University for making...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?